Today on Real Radio.
This, chapter 10, specifically verses 1 through 6, is a letter of encouragement for all of us to enter the battle. To enter the battle. If you are a Christian, you are involved in a cultural battle. If you are a Christian, you are involved in a spiritual battle.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. The author of this epistle uses many analogies, agriculture, anatomical, political, and so forth. In the passage we're looking at now, we find military metaphors. Why? Well, because whether we like it or not, the true believer is engaged in war. It may be spiritual indeed, but it is warfare nonetheless. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a multi-part series called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I don't know what to do. Why? I want to be faithful to the Word, and by God's grace, that's going to happen. I also want to be faithful to give God the glory for what He's done in my life from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is kind of a homecoming chapter for me personally, spiritually. And so it affects me. And I hope it will affect you. And so through this chapter, specifically these next couple of weeks, I'll be faithful to the Word, but I'm going to be sharing some things that are personal for me that I pray and trust. If it's the right thing to do, it will also minister to you. This is big stuff. I've got to warn you right now, too. We're going to show you something at some point of the message. If we get to it today, if we don't, we'll get to it next week. But leading up to it, I need all of your attention. Leading up to it, I'm going to need you to pay close attention. If you are a religionist, if you are a recreational believer, if you play with God and you're not serious about God, you're going to find what's coming up very offensive, very scary. But if you are committed to the Word of God, and if you're serious about your walk, I trust that this is the kind of church that this is, then what we're going to be showing you and what you're going to be hearing from the Word will encourage you in the right way. I mean, we just prayed for Morgan as he heads off to learn about battling in war. Yet, as you sit here today, you're comfortable, you're casual, but your spirit is at war. And there's a war against your existence, and it's real. And we somehow have gotten it into our modern mind of Christian thinking that that's not true. And I want to tell you today that one of the greatest ways to subdue your enemy is to get your enemy to think that you are no threat. If you can invade your enemy without them knowing that you're invading, you're going to win. And you could possibly win without firing a shot. And the greatest attempt by Satan today is to get the Christian to not think that they're at war. But for the Christian who understands what the Bible says, we know that we ought not to get out of bed without putting our armor on. And so if you're in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're looking at a message that will probably certainly be 2 weeks or more long in this segment or this chapter of the Bible. It's a profound chapter of the Bible, as I'm saying. But we're looking at a message that's entitled SWAT. Not the fly, but special weapons and tactics as a believer. Special Weapons and Tactics, Part 1, SWAT, Knowing How to Fight the Christian Fight. It's all important. Paul the Apostle, in 2 Corinthians, I told you, in the introduction of this book, way back in chapter 1, that 2 Corinthians was a book written by the Apostle that trumps all other authorships of biblical writers for this one reason. Paul the Apostle, remarkable man of God. Paul the Apostle bears his heart in 2 Corinthians. It's the most emotional letter written in the Bible regarding New Testament Christianity. Paul the Apostle shares with us the battles, shares with us the victories, shares with us the temptations and the internal strife of his own walk with God and the external battles of those that would come against him. And he's going to open up with a beautiful, anointed sarcasm regarding the attacks of those who are mocking him. They're trying to undermine the ministry. They despise him. And they're trying to discredit his preaching, his teaching, and his church planting skills. Christian, when you take a stand as a believer in this life, as a Christian, if you go to witness to a worker, a neighbor, a family member, you're going to be opposed. You're going to be resisted. You're going to be attacked. But a Christian will embrace that attack because the victory of what's in store is far more glorious than the level of attack levied against you. What God has intended for you and what God has wrought for us is victory. And so we come out, as we'll learn today, we come out of the position of victory in our Christian experience. Paul is most transparent in chapter 10, like you've never seen him before. He defends the gospel rather than himself. And so chapter 10, verse 1, follow along with me. This is what the apostle has to say. He says, now I, Paul, so that there's no misunderstanding, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I'll explain that more as we begin to look into this. Who, in presence, am lowly among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. Verse 2. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, worldly, but mighty in God for, note this, number one, note taker, pulling down strongholds. Number two, casting down arguments. Three, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Four, bringing every thought unto the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Next, being obedient to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Big stuff, serious words. Listen, watch this. You've been looking at this for, I don't know how long, a year we've been in this study. 2 Corinthians, what is the subtitle here? A letter of encouragement. Church, write this down. This, chapter 10, specifically verses 1 through 6, is a letter of encouragement for all of us to enter the battle. To enter the battle. If you are a Christian, you are involved in a cultural battle. If you're a Christian, you are involved in a spiritual battle. As a believer, God has commissioned us to take the good news of Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel of God to the ends of the earth and to everybody we know. Why? Because, listen, they will not live forever. Your friends will not live forever. Those that are your acquaintances will not live forever. And there's a day coming when they will enter eternity. And our number one thing in this life is by the power of God and by the love of God and by the truth of God is to tell them the gospel. Why? Because their end is coming. Their days are limited. Their days are numbered. Satan knows this. God, of course, knows this. But the Lord wants to use us to be agents of rescue, agents of hope, agents of love for a dying world. So as we look at this, point number one in our argument today is this. Special weapons and tactics for the believer, mark it, verses 1 and 2, is not predicated upon you. It's not predicated upon you and I. Mark that down. This warfare is not based upon your success and your power and your strength. Now look, this is hard for men to swallow. I just came down the mountain from being with all these men of this church, over 300 men, at the men's retreat. And men, it's funny to see that many men together because It's just man stuff. It's just kind of funny. You know how women are kind of just, when they all get together, they just do the women stuff? That's, they all go to the bathroom together at the same time? They just do women stuff. They talk about, oh, you know. And that's great. Listen, we like women to be like that. Guys, when they get together, it's all, it's kind of funny. Men don't like to hear that something is not based upon their success. Men want to believe it's based on their success. Men want to believe that we can do it. And that's an important thing. When we talk about special weapons and tactics for the Christian, don't think for a moment that it's the special weapons and tactics of the LAPD. No, 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 no. It's far different. It's of another world, though it does invade this world, but it answers the attack that's behind the physical powers we see. Why do certain things take place in our culture, in our families, in our lives, in the lives of those around us? Because there are demonic and heavenly spirits behind the actions that manifest themselves physically. The Christian understands this. So when we think about this battle and the tactics we use, take a big breath and relax, Christian. It's not predicated upon you. It's not founded upon you. It's not founded upon me. Number one, look at this in verse one. We are not empowered by self or by us. It's not based upon our power. Thank God. Paul says, now I, Paul, myself. He's making an announcement. I am pleading with you by the meekness, circle the word meekness, and circle the word gentleness of Christ, who in presence I'm lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. Church, you need to take that verse and kind of divide it right in half, because this is what Paul is saying. Number one, Corinthian believers, there's no doubt about it. I myself, Paul, in light of all of the attacks that have been levied against me, you guys in Corinth have been told by these Judaizers, these legalists who claim to be Christians. Listen, everybody, because they're still around today. They claim to be Christians. They will boast that they are a higher rank of Christian than you because they have devoted themselves to the gospel of God. Sounds really good. But they've achieved a level of holiness that you must aspire to. And just come with us and we will teach you how to be a real super saint. And listen, we'll get to it today or next week. I'll let the cat out of the bag. These guys would say you need to delete things from your flesh. Now that's a good idea. But ladies and gentlemen, you and I do not have the power to delete stuff from our fleshly life. We may recognize it's wrong. We may recognize that it's against Scripture. We may recognize that it hurts the heart of God. But how many times have we tried to kill that stuff with our own attempts, with our own trying, with our own effort? We have done this. We have done that. We put up barbed wire around it so we don't get to it. We just dig a hole and go under the wire. We put something up and climb over. We say that we're not going to pick up that bottle or draw that line of Coke or whatever it is that you might have this thing that's your past that visits you now, but it's there yelling at you, and you say to yourself, why is it that I love Jesus, but I fail at staying away from some of these things? I'll do really good for a few months, and then I wind up tripping up. What's going on? Listen, I'll tell you right now, and I'm going to say it for all of us. You fail at the time and at the moment that you're resisting it in your own strength. Your Christian battle is not based upon your own power. It's based upon the power of God, as we shall see. Can you cry? I don't mean with tears. Can you cry out? Can you say, God, help me? Remember one of the shortest prayers in all of the Bible, I think, is one of the most important prayers in all of the Bible. I think God tells us to keep our prayers short, by the way. I really believe that. And Peter prayed the most effective prayer I've ever heard prayed. Peter steps out of the boat to meet Jesus. He's doing great. He starts to sink, and he says, what? Lord, help! Now that's a prayer. Christian, can you pray that prayer? Listen, our special weapons and tactics have been given to us by God. They're not our own. And many people try to attack the temptations of the flesh with what they think is their own strength. It's not predicated upon us. It's not empowered by us. Paul says, I'm pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. This is an awesome declaration of sarcasm to the Corinthian church, because they were listening to the attackers that were saying, Paul's a loser. I mean, come on. Paul, have you guys seen him? He's a little tiny man. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say this, but church history records that Paul was a very, very, very short man. We don't know how short. Some estimate 5 feet tall. Regardless, history says he's just a short man. History tells us that he had a bald head but long hair in the back, that he had eyes that were close together toward his nose, a long hooked nose. History tells us he was not fun to look at, that he was bow-legged on his journeys of his Christian life. Transportation-wise, he must have ridden a horse a lot or a camel. He was severely bow-legged. And on top of it, history tells us that his voice actually was painful to hear. But could that guy write? So his attackers were saying, have you seen Paul? There is no way that Paul could be of God. Look at him. You know how the world judges everything according to appearance? Do you remember Israel did that with King Saul? Oh, isn't he tall? Isn't he handsome? Isn't he just great to look at? We want him to be our king. Paul, when he wrote, he could shake the world. But when he spoke, it kind of must have sounded like nails going across the chalkboard. And he was being attacked for that. There is no doubt, and cheer up for all of us who are weak today, that God's strength resides upon the weak. That's one of our great special weapons and tactics. Any man who sees, or any woman who sees themselves somehow exalted and God is somehow blessed and favored to have them on his team, will not progress much in this spiritual war. But any man or woman who understands, I can't swat, no pun intended, a fly, that's where God's power will come, because God will be glorified in that weakness. And Paul looked weak, but inside, Paul was a tornado. Paul was a lion, and he trusted God, because it was clear for Paul to look into a pond or a mirror of polished brass in those days and to see the reflection of himself and say, oh my, oh me, oh my, I'm a pitiful thing. But God's power is upon me. And he reminds the Corinthians, remember the meekness and the gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a cool thing. Church, are you guys with me? Are you listening? Jesus, listen, Jesus Christ, God come in flesh to earth, God veiled in human flesh, born in a cave-styled manger in Bethlehem, laid in a feeding trough called a manger, grows up in a carpenter's shop, learns how to use a saw, a hammer, a mallet, a plane, build furniture. Jesus knew how to wear an apron for his carpentry work, learning under the leadership and the skills of his journeyman father, dad, that is, Joseph. And Jesus learned all this, and Paul is awesome to play off of it. Is Jesus' power in doubt? The Corinthians would say no. Paul would say, was Jesus some incredibly impressive personality that walked into the town and everybody just gave it up and surrendered? No, he was meek and he was gentle. And yet he's using the very example of Christ to make and stake his claim that the power of God was upon Jesus, the power of God rests upon God's servants, and the power of God was upon Paul. And he issues this, look at it there. At the latter end of verse 1, he says, who, speaking of himself, in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. That's a sarcasm. Paul's a mouse in public presence, But boy, he writes, and that was the criticism circulating around the Roman world. Paul is somehow an imposter. Somebody else must be writing this stuff because just look at him. And the temptation was to the Corinthians, don't follow this guy. Are you with me now? That's a spiritual war. Do you understand that? Are you Christian? Don't raise your hand. Are you Christian today? Yes. Have you in any way, shape, or form stood for Jesus? Have you said anything for Jesus? I mean, look at Halloween. Have you ever handed out tracts when you give out a Twinkie or whatever, a Snickers? Someone's going to say, what are you doing this for? Hey, man, keep your religion to yourself. I mean, how simple could that be? You're not preaching. You're just handing out a tract. And somebody might say to you, now 10,000 people might say, thank you. Thank you very much. And be on their way. One person criticizes your stand for Jesus. And doesn't it feel like it's the 10,000 coming against you? You want to know why? It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Why is it that some of you are too scared to share Jesus with somebody? Because you are succumbing to the spiritual pressure that the enemy is to, listen, he can't take your salvation. I can't take their salvation. They're saved. They're in the arms of God. They're in the hands of Jesus. They're in the hands of the Father. They're sealed into the day of redemption. I've lost them, the enemy would say. What am I going to do? I know what I'll do. I'll neuter them. I'll sterilize them. So I lost them, but I'll make sure that they're completely impotent from sharing the gospel with someone else. So I lost them, but I'll keep them silent so they can't tell others about the love of God. Because Satan hates you. Satan hates the lost. He hates God. He's a defeated foe. And like we learned last Wednesday night, the only thing he can do to inflict the heart of God is to go after what God loves. And that's a lost and broken world. And it's the church who he's redeemed. And Satan hates the church. He hates you. And that's a very serious thing. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, Paul says there to the Thessalonians, Thessalonica, still a beautiful city today. Isn't that awesome? You can visit that on tour. But we were gentle among you. Listen to him. Just as a nursing mother cherishes her own child. He's talking about ministry. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Church, this is the great apostle. He's a lover of men's souls. Where did he learn this? From Jesus. Galatians chapter 1 tells us that Jesus taught Paul this stuff. He's gentle, he's meek, he's a lover of the souls of men. But legalism hates that. Organized religion can't stand that. They want to control you. They want to tell you what to believe, how to believe, and when to believe it, how to conduct yourselves. God says, you come and follow me. Jesus says, follow me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. It's a multi-part series taken from 2 Corinthians, which speaks of the spiritual warfare in which the true believer is engaged. SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics, is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, if you'd like, you can write to Pastor Jack anytime, let him know that you're enjoying and benefiting from Real Radio. Here's what one Real Radio listener wrote. Thanks, Pastor Jack, for the great inspiration from God's Word to me this morning. I'm blessed. May God reward you for the job. And that one comes from Rufus. Thank you so much, Rufus. It's easy. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Need to get in touch by phone? That's easy, too. Here's our number, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.